the Lord could not get through to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders because their pride prevented them from hearing the word of God. And so, even in today's passage, we come face to face with the truth that Blessed Cardinal Newman once pointed out to one of his adversaries, who was complaining that Catholics seem to read the Mother of God into every passage of Scripture. And so Cardinal Newman replied, that would be a problem if we were reading her in, and he declared, because she truly is in every line of Scripture. And we know that from the very beginning when our Lord, when the Holy Spirit, inspiring the author of Scripture, told us that our first parents' hope was given to them because they were to look forward to the woman who was to come to crush the seed. And so it is the humility of the Immaculate Virgin Mary by which the word of God is spoken. And so even if the Lord had told the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders that his authority came from his heavenly Father, they would not have accepted him and would have continued to go forward and simply find another pretext to destroy him. It is the Mother of God who always humbly accepts the word of God, and in doing so, truly became the Mother of God. And so she truly is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And we must constantly turn to her so that we may preserve our own faith. And most especially, we must turn to her in these times of trial and tribulation so that she may help us to persevere in that faith that we have received, so that we may do the will of God. And most especially in doing that, we are following that maternal advice that she gave us at the wedding feast of Cana, to do whatever he tells you. And so it has become customary within the church, especially on the first Saturday of every month, to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary in a special way. And so we are called to reflect and to meditate upon all those mysteries that she is a part of in the mystical body of Christ, and we know that means she is the part of all the mysteries of our faith, because it was through her that the Son of God chose to come into the world as a man, and it was that sacred humanity given to him by the Blessed Virgin Mary that he would offer for the sins of the world. And so our Mother truly has a special and a unique place in the role of salvation, and she truly is the co-redemptrix of the world, cooperating with her Son in a unique way. That cooperation, as is the cooperation with all creatures, is truly a subordinate cooperation. But in the case of the Mother of God, and in a mysterious ways of God, somehow it contributes to our very salvation, because she had no sin to repair for herself, and so her suffering was truly and totally redemptive suffering. And so we must seek always and everywhere to try to acquire the dispositions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that we come to know what our union with Christ crucified truly means. Always offering those trials and tribulations and all that the world will throw to us, all that we must struggle with because of our own weaknesses, we must strive always to unite it to Christ crucified, which ultimately means in all things we must seek to avoid sin, and that is particularly the characteristic of the Mother of God. She avoided all sin, and we know this from the teachings of the Church, for she was the Immaculate Conception, and as Scripture says, there will be enmity between her and the enemy of our souls. That enmity was complete and total, and so it is in the Blessed Virgin Mary that Christ is totally victorious, for she is the one creature whom Satan has never had any sway over, and she wishes to remove us all from the sway of Satan and from his leadership. And so let us strive each and every day of our lives to remember how central the Mother of God is to the mystery of salvation. Indeed, it is quite true to state that the Protestant Revolution has become so depraved that even in the most observant Protestant religion, five formulas of baptism are allowed, only two of which are valid, because in losing the Mother, we lose the Christ child. In losing the Mother, we lose all the mysteries of the faith. But there is a unique thing about the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We see even in those conceived in original sin, often a mother does not abandon her children in time of need. How much more so is this true of the Mother of God? And so she abandons no one in this life, but she seeks always and everywhere to draw souls into that unity of the one faith, so that all of us may truly, under her maternal care and protection, work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And so let us strive always not to imitate the pride of the chief priest describes in the elders, that pride which caused the Son of God not to reveal to them whom his authority came from, but let us try always and everywhere to imitate that humility of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because that authority ultimately of the Blessed Trinity would work in her soul in a unique way, so much so that by the power of the Holy Spirit she would conceive in her womb the Son of God and give to him that sacred humanity that truly is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and it is given to us by the Mother of God. And so the same things often that can be said of our Lord can be said of the Mother of God. And so she truly has that unique place. And because, as is the modern attempt to say, we cannot identify with her because she is so unique and different than us, that her prerogatives are often diminished and she is simply reduced to a poor peasant Israeli girl, we must never fall to this, because it is precisely in the fact that she has been elevated above us that we can most uniquely identify with her as children to their mother. And so let us always strive to show ourselves good children of the Mother of God, knowing that she has one mission in this life, and she has that mission given to her in the case of every soul whom God has created, that mission to give to that soul Christ in this life so that they may enjoy him for all eternity in the life to come.
Et Jesus.